Well, thank you all for being here tonight. I really appreciate it. And as you can tell, I'm having a wonderful opportunity to stand on the Word of God for my healing. And I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Anybody else in here healed? All right. Well, let's get into this tonight. I'm going to take just a few moments and we're going to review a little bit of some things that we've covered in our previous lessons. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's read that verse. That's kind of been our foundation verse. And 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says this, "But about the things of the Spirit, my brothers, it is not right for you to be without teaching." And so that's been the whole reason we've taken these weeks and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and all the ministry that the Holy Spirit wants to bring into our lives. And so that's what we're doing tonight. And so we're going to continue this. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 in review. This is where Paul gives us the list of the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 again, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And again, just for the sake of review, that word gifts there is added at the privilege of the translators. It's not in the original text. And what the original text actually says is, "Now concerning things of and pertaining to the Spirit, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So I want to point out to you again, and I can't emphasize this enough, that anything that the Holy Spirit does is always going to lift up and exalt Jesus. He's always going to lift up the name of Jesus. If you ever see anybody operating in what they're calling the gifts of the Spirit and it's drawing attention to them, I can assure you, based on the authority of God's Word, that that is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always going to point to Jesus, always going to glorify Him. So then he goes in, starts talking about it. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith or special faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds or diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one in the same and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And so I just wanted to read through those again just so you can see. Now again, we've talked about this. There are 9 gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. That's what we're talking about tonight. Don't confuse them with the 9 fruit of the Spirit. Again, gifts are given, fruit is grown. And so these are different from the 9 fruit of the Spirit. The 9 fruit of the Spirit are what the Holy Spirit does in us to develop Christian character so that we can become more and more like Jesus. And so we'll talk about those at a different time. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, the 9 manifestations of the Spirit, can be divided up. I want to just touch base on these again. There are 3 revelation gifts, and those can be broken down. Number 1 is the word of wisdom. I'll give you definitions for these in just a moment. The 2nd is the word of knowledge. And the 3rd is the discerning of spirits. These are the revelation gifts. In other words, they reveal something. This is something that the Holy Spirit does in the lives of believers and in ministry to help others, giving them revelation. Then there are 3 power gifts. The first one of those is called the gift of faith or gift of special faith. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. The working of miracles. And then lastly, the gifts of healings. These are all what are known as power gifts. And these have to do with the power of God. And then lastly, there are the 3 utterance gifts, or some people call them inspirational gifts because they inspire. And by the way, inspire, the root word for inspire is God breathed because it means in spirit. And so you see that the first one of those is prophecy. We'll talk about that. Diverse kinds of tongues. And then lastly, the interpretation of tongues. And these all have to do with speaking something forth, and that's why they're called the utterance gifts. Now, just to give you some definitions for these, and by the way, all of this is on the website, on the message page, so if you miss any of this, don't worry about it, but let me just run through these definitions real quick so you can review those. The first one, the word of knowledge, is defined as the supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God. Now, as we talked about, this can pertain to things in the past, and it can pertain to things in the present. The word of knowledge never deals with the future. That's the word of wisdom. We'll talk about that in just a second. The other thing that I want to mention to you, and we've said this before, but notice that they're called a word. That means that it's partial. That means that when God reveals something to you along these lines, it's never going to be the full thing. It's always going to be a part. And so therefore, that's why it's called the word of knowledge. The next one is called the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is defined as a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind and will of God. And it's the revelation of the plans and purposes of God. In other words, when you see things in the Scripture where people have spoken forth and delivered things pertaining to the future, that was the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom always has to do with something that's coming up. Somebody said, well, I thought that was prophecy. Well, it can be prophecy, you know, in the sense of, you know, we have several books in the Bible that are prophetic books. But if you truly break it down, those men and women who spoke those things gave it forth as a word of wisdom. And it came forth through the office of the prophet. But anyway, so it has to do with things pertaining to the future. And again, the difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is that the word of knowledge is always present tense or concerning that something that happened in the past. The word of wisdom is always speaks of the future. Now, the third revelation gift that we talked about is what is called the gift of discerning of spirits. This can be defined as the seeing or hearing in the realm of the spirits. Remember, we say this humorously, but, you know, don't confuse this, meaning that, you know, you hear somebody says, well, you know, I have the gift of discernment. There is no such thing as the gift of discernment. Really, what you think you have is a gift of suspicion, and there is no such thing, okay, that, you know, when God reveals something to you, it's very clear, and really, when you read in the Bible about people that had visitations of angels, or people that might have, you know, you hear testimonies of people that have actually seen demonic spirits. Or, you know, you might hear of somebody as Brother Hagin or others that have talked about having a visitation of Jesus. All of these beings are spirit beings. And when people have made record of seeing these things or talking to these beings, it is because they're seeing over into the realm of the spirit. You know, there are recordings in the Old Testament where people, it was so real to them that it seemed as though they were people. You know, there was actually a Jewish tradition, and I'll tie it to you in just a second, but there was a Jewish tradition where the Jewish people had a mindset that you better be careful that when somebody comes knocking on your door, how you treat them is very important because you've ever heard the phrase, because you might be entertaining angels unaware. Well, and later on in Jesus' ministry, when he told the story about, you remember the neighbor that came and knocked on the door and said, hey, I need some bread. We had some people that showed up at our house unexpected. And he, you know, talked about the, you know, don't shut the door if you have the means to be able to help your neighbor. And so this whole mindset it was so important to them that they were kind of surprised that Jesus would even bring this up. But that is what, when people have seen angelic beings, it has been because they have seen over into the realm of the spirit. Now, just for the sake of talking about angels for a second, angels can, some of them do look like human beings, some of them don't. You know, there are angelic beings that are gathered around the throne, the Bible says, that have many eyes, wings, arms and legs. They don't look anything like human beings. Some can actually turn their heads all the way around, which is kind of freaky if you think about it, but it is true. So, you know, some of these beings don't have characteristics, but, you know, don't mistake that they're you know, godly beings just because they don't look like us. Okay? We're made in the image of God. They're just created beings that God created. All right, so that's the three revelation gifts. Let's start talking about the power gifts again. Let's talk about the gift of faith. We touched on this last week. The gift of faith is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit whereby a believer is empowered with special faith or wonder-working faith, and it is beyond simple saving faith. And as I was meditating on this and thinking about this week as we were building up, or since last week leading up to tonight, I really sensed that the Holy Spirit wanted me to emphasize this and bring some clarity. Because I made a statement last week talking about Daniel in the lion's den, that just based on your saving faith, if you get thrown in the lion's den, hopefully none of you will experience that, but if you were to get thrown in the lion's den, your natural or your saving faith would not be enough to sustain you in the middle of that. Special faith is going to have to kick in, and I want to make sure that I make it clear that you start out with your faith, and where your faith comes up short is where the gift of faith comes in. Does that make sense to you? I'll tell you something, and I'll quote something from Smith Wigglesworth in just a second that'll help you understand that, okay? So the gift of faith is given to the believer so that he can receive miracles, okay? So when we see things happening in the Old Testament where people had the miraculous in operation, that was the gift of faith to receive those miracles. Now, the difference between the gift of faith and the working of miracles is the working of miracles is supernatural ability to allow you to work a miracle. Now, and I know how we are in the church. We should be. We want all the glory to go to Jesus, but we're going to see a scripture in just a little bit that says, where the Bible says that there were many miracles and signs and wonders that were done at the hands of Paul. Paul worked the miracles. Now, obviously, it was by the power of God, but don't be so hesitant to draw back from working miracles that you're just, you know, we're so tentative about that because we want to make sure that Jesus gets the glory. Well, obviously, we want Jesus to get the glory, but it's going to take you and me stepping out and doing some things to work some miracles. Okay, do you understand that? I want to just clarify that. Smith Wigglesworth said this, if you'll take a step of ordinary faith, when you come to the end of that faith, very often the supernatural gift of special faith will take over. One reason more folks don't see the manifestation of special faith operating in their lives is that they don't first use what faith they already have. Now, what he means by this is, you know, as I mentioned to you, for those of you who may not be familiar with the life of ministry of Smith Wigglesworth, he lived at the turn of the 20th century. I think he died in 1946, something like that. And God used him in tremendous ways to do some tremendous things miraculously. It is recorded and documented that at least 12 people were raised from the dead during his ministry. And I'm talking about people that there, I know of two instances in his ministry, and there may be more that I'm just not aware of, where people were in the casket in the funeral home, dead, and God used him to raise them from the dead. So, you know, you might be saying, well, how does that work? Did he just come for the visitation hour, and all of a sudden God moved in his life? No, what happens is that there is and I talked about this on Sunday, there's a moving of compassion in your heart, and something happens. There's something that gets stirred on the inside of you that says, you know what, this isn't right. And I believe, and God will give you something on the inside of your spirit. Well, you know, this has to change. This is not right. This was not the will of God. And you take a simple step in your faith, and where your faith comes up short is where the gift of faith and the working of miracles comes into play so that that person can be raised from the dead. But don't mistaken, unless you have that in operation, it is not going to work. And you're going to embarrass yourself. Okay? Now, I'm not saying, you know, if you know that you know, go for it. But if there's a question mark back here, you know, like you're acting all bold, but secretly in your heart, you're going, I'm sure hoping God shows up because I'm going to look really stupid. Don't do it, please. Okay? Because you and God are going to look stupid in that situation. I know of situations where it's happened. Thank God I've never done that, but I know of other ministers where it has happened. I mean, there was a situation, and you're going to think this is really crazy, but there was a healing service going on in Smith Wigglesworth Ministry, and a lady had a baby, infant, maybe 1 or 2 years old, that was badly deformed. Limbs not fully grown and out of place and that type of thing. So much so that she carried the baby around in a paper bag. Okay? She was so embarrassed for the baby and, just carried the baby around in the paper bag. And so she came to the service and came forward for ministry and prayer. And Smith, if you ever Google him sometime, he's a big old mustache. I mean, you just have to see him. You can imagine him doing something like this. But, the Spirit of God came on him, and I'm not advising that you do this. Please, if you do this, don't tell people you come to church here. But he took the baby and the paper bag, and he drop-kicked the baby and the bag across the stage. And when the baby landed at the other end of the stage, they opened up the bag, and all of the limbs were normal. The baby was completely healed and restored. Okay? There was another situation where I believe it was a lady. I might be wrong, but there was a lady that came forward in one of his services that had a huge tumor in the stomach area. I mean, it was huge. It looked like she was pregnant. And, Smith, again, being led by the Holy Spirit, hauled off and punched her in the stomach. And when he punched her in the stomach, the growth disappeared and the lady was completely healed. Okay? So again, if you know that it's God, please go for it. All right? But if you don't. Okay? Because you will know. You will know when it's the Lord, and you will know when you need to step out and do something like that. Please don't do it hoping and a praying God pulls through this time. If you do, again, please don't give out any of our business cards or anything like that. All right? Just keep it moving. So, anyway, I just wanted to talk about that. But that's a great definition that Smith gave us there. So, again, if you'll take a step in your faith. Now, again, you know that it's God leading you. You know, I shared with you the story about the couple in our church that had a small baby that died and a newborn baby that died. And I got to the hospital as soon as just within moments of the baby dying. And so I took the baby in my arms and held her and I prayed and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I didn't hear anything. And you know what I did? I put the baby right back down because I wasn't about to do something in my own wishing and hoping and my own desperation to try and help this couple and disappoint them and hurt them. And then, of course, embarrass the Lord. I wasn't going to do that. And, I don't know all the ins and outs. You're not going to know all the ins and outs either. But the truth of the matter is, don't do these things unless you know. And you will know when it is time. So let's talk about the working of miracles. Now, miracles this definition has to do with miracles, period. But it's kind of wordy, but let me give it to you. The gift of the working of miracles is a supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. It is a temporary suspension of the accustomed order or an interruption in the system of nature as we know it, operated by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, a miracle, and this is just a general definition of a miracle, a miracle is something that would not ordinarily, normally happen. It is not natural for it to happen this way, and the gift of the working of miracles is exactly the same. It is a manifestation of the power of God to cause something supernaturally to happen to intervene in the ordinary course of nature. And so this is extremely important. Let me give you a couple of examples so that you can understand this. Let's look at Joshua chapter 10. You're probably familiar with this story. This is a story where Joshua is in the battle, there are several five kings that have come against the children of Israel. The children of Israel have gone down to fight them. The Lord has already assured them that they have the victory. And so Joshua is right in the middle of the battle with them. And what's happening is they're in the middle of the battle, but the sun starts going down. And it says, then Joshua spoke to the Lord. So he prayed in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ayalon. And here's what happened. And so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. Now, I'm going to say this to you. You're not going to be able to stop the sun and the moon without some help. Okay? Now, again, you know, you can trust God. You can take a step of faith. But I believe Joshua had an unction on the inside of him to declare this to happen. And God backed it up. Okay? Now, the gift of faith and the working of miracles, sometimes it will be as though you declare something based on the word of God and based on the power of God, and God backs it up as though it's him saying it. And that's exactly what happened here. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher, which was a historical book for the children of Israel? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has not been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now, what's really cool about this, and I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but back in the 50s, when NASA was in its infancy and they were beginning to launch satellites into orbit, they were using some computer programs, brand new computer programs and things to get started, and the scientists were coming up against a roadblock because I don't know if you know this about satellites, but satellites don't move. They launch them into what's called an asynchronous orbit where they just hover over one place as the whole Earth turns. So to get these satellites to be stationary in orbit like that, to where they're functioning, they're moving, but they're moving at the same pace that the Earth is moving, they had to program in time, distance, and all this type of thing. Well, when all this was being planned out, the programs kept coming up short and not calculating correctly. And there was a scientist who was on the team that happened to remember this story from the book of Joshua and went in and added this extra day to the calculation, and all of a sudden all the orbits synced up like they were supposed to because time had been thrown off by this one event. I mean, think about this. How would you like, and I don't know that there were, I guess there was. How would you like to have been on the other side of the earth, not knowing that this battle was taking place, and you're expecting the sun to go down, and it doesn't go down for a whole another 12 or 14 hours or however long it took. And you're sitting there trying to figure out, why is this day so long? And it was because of what was happening. Well, it threw everything off. And as the Bible says, there's not been a day like it since. Hadn't been one before it. And so, I just think that's really cool. Here's a couple of other instances of the working of miracles. Okay. How about a story where Jesus changed the water into wine? How about, that's not something that ordinarily happens in the course of nature. You know, I don't know. I've had water sitting in my refrigerator for a while, and it's never turned into wine. And, you know, it might get some funky stuff growing in it, but it's never turned into wine. All right? Anybody else? If you have that, please pray for me. Okay? Here's another one. Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes. That is not something that happens in the ordinary course of nature. And so that is the working of miracles. Okay? Jesus operated in the gifts of the Spirit, by the way. We'll talk about that more in just a second. So here's the gift of faith versus the working of miracles. The working of miracles is used to deliver people from unavoidable danger or harm. Okay? The gift of faith would carry a person through the danger with great peace and calm without the person being harmed at all. So let me ask you a question. Daniel in the lion's den and what God did for him, was that the working of miracles or the gift of faith? What was it? The gift of faith, yeah. Because Daniel still went through that situation, but had supernatural peace and calm. And, you know, again, we had an old family Bible. Anybody ever have one of the big old thick family Bibles? I used to love when I was a kid looking through that Bible, not because of all the scriptures, but because of the pictures that were in it. And there was a picture in it some guy had painted many years ago, this picture of Daniel in the lion's den, and it showed Daniel, a grown man, curled up next to, literally sleeping on one of the lions. And I still remember that picture to this day. And so I believe that that's what happened, that the gift of faith showed up and carried Daniel through that situation and kept him alive and protected him from the lions, all right? So again, just to emphasize this, the gift of faith receives a miracle. The working of miracles does the miracle, okay? Just so you can understand that, all right? So Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds or different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. The Greek word for miracles in this verse is the word dunamis. And let me give you a definition for that word dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite from. For those of you who might be familiar with how a generator works, there's a part in a generator called a dynamo. That's what spins and generates the electricity. And it all comes from this Greek word. This Greek word is defined acts of powers, explosions of almightiness. I love that. Or impelling, staggering wonders or astonishments. Okay? And I want you to hear this. God is still a miracle-working God today. And He wants to work miracles in the lives of His people, but not so much just His people. God wants to work miracles in the lives of lost people. Now, here's why. Because miracles, and I heard a minister say this, the gifts of the Spirit, and especially working of miracles, gifts of healings, are the dinner bell for the unsaved. Do you know what I mean by when I say that? In other words, back in the old days, and for me growing up, maybe you grew up this way, it was a whistle. I can't do it, but a whistle like that. If I was out playing in the neighborhood and it was dinner time and I heard that whistle, that means you come to the house. All right, anybody else ever grow up? All right, same thing. So what working miracles, faith, special faith, and gifts of healings, those are the dinner bell or the dinner whistle to draw the unsaved to God. That's what signs and wonders and miracles are all about. Signs and wonders or miracles aren't for Christians predominantly. It's for the unsaved. Why do we need a sign to point us to Jesus? We don't. We're saved already. Now, I know some people, say, well, if I could just see a miracle, then I would believe God. No, why don't you get in the Bible and develop faith on your own? All right, because what you're saying is, God, will you kick me in the tail and help me believe you? That's really what you're saying. And there, it's not for you. All right, it's for the lost. It's to show them that God loves them, He cares for them, and that He is so longing for them that He will do anything to draw them to His side. And so that's what signs and wonders and miracles are all about. But I love that. Explosions of almightiness. God wants to explode His almightiness in the lives of people today. He wants there to be impelling, staggering wonders of astonishments. And trust me, before Jesus comes back, we're going to see a lot of things where people are going to be astonished. All right? So, let's continue on with this. Y'all getting anything out of this? I'm enjoying teaching it, even though my voice sounds like I'm going through puberty. But anyway, in the New Testament, we see more of the gifts of healings and the working of miracles, but there are some situations where it could have been both. Okay? Now, and I'm going to state this later on, but I'll go ahead and say it now. In the Old Testament, you see more working of miracles than gifts of healings. Think about it. There aren't that many recorded healings in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. But there's a whole lot more miraculous things that happen in the Old Testament. Okay? So let me give you some where it could have been both in the New Testament. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, there was a man by the name of Stephen. The Bible says this, that he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. Now, I just want to say this for a second. Can I teach you for a minute? You need to study the life of Stephen. Stephen's a really extraordinary guy. And so is Philip the evangelist. You ever heard of Philip the evangelist in the book of Acts? Okay. You need to study where these guys got started. Somehow when we're reading these verses, we gloss over them, and we automatically just assume that Stephen was just minding his own business, and one day God said, bzzz, and all of a sudden he's full of great faith and power and started walking around doing miracles. He did not. Stephen, if you read about it in Acts chapter 5, was one of the seven men that was assigned and prayed for and prayed over to wait on tables to serve widows who weren't getting fed. Now, what's my point? He did not get here until he did the serving first. Okay? And I think we Christians mean that or miss that. Philip the evangelist was the same way. You are not going to step into this level of the power of God without being willing to humble yourself and serve first. I can just say that emphatically. Okay? And so when you get an opportunity to serve, sometimes it's not always convenient. Sometimes, it's not always what you want to do. But just understand this, that God is keeping the score. All right? And God remembers those things. And you and I and other people, you're not going to step into the miracle working power of God until you're willing to serve others first. All right? I can tell that thrilled you, so I'll move on to the next one. Here's Acts chapter 8 and verse 6. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip the evangelist, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So Philip went in to this particular city, preached the gospel to them, and then God used him to perform great miracles. So there were miracles, working of miracles that took place. And again, it could have been healings, and it also could have been the working of miracles. Here's one with Paul and Barnabas. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. So they came. Paul and Barnabas had come back to Jerusalem. They were telling the other apostles and the disciples there in Jerusalem what God had used them to do. So here you have Philip, who worked miracles, and then it says Paul and Barnabas worked miracles. That God worked miracles through them. Okay. Now we don't know, was there healings involved with that? I feel quite certain that there was, but it could have been gifts of healings and working of miracles. Acts chapter 19. Here's one. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now this is, and there's been people that have taken this to the extreme, but this is the scripture where, when you have seen men and women of God that have prayed over handkerchiefs to lay on the sick and things like that, that's where this comes from. It's not so much that handkerchief becomes a good luck charm or a lucky rabbit's foot or anything like that. It's actually where it becomes a point of contact. In other words, the anointing doesn't exactly occupy a handkerchief, all right? But it's a point of contact for somebody to be able, if you can't physically get into the presence of somebody who has the healing anointing, at least maybe you could touch that thing, and it represents to you and to your faith that you're receiving from God as if you were present with that person in the room. All right. So, it says that there were unusual miracles worked by the hands of Paul. Okay. So gifts of healings are manifested. So that's the gift of faith, the working of miracles. Here's the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings are manifested for the supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural source or means. Okay? Now, let me explain this for just a second. There is the simple receiving healing by faith. For instance, that's what I'm doing right now. Confessing the Word of God, believing God for healing. Somebody might ask the question, are you taking medicine? You betcha I'm taking medicine. Amen. That's why God gave it to us. But listen, here's what you need to understand. Medicine does not heal you. Surgery does not heal you. Okay, all it does is aid your body in being able to do what it was created to do. Isn't it cool? I mean, have you ever thought about this? Here we are, 6,000 years after the fall of Adam, And there's still so much of the life of God in our bodies that our bodies fight to live now. I mean, there's all kinds of things that kick in. You know, white blood cells, you know, all those things that are still present in our body that our bodies fight to live. And that goes all the way back to the original man that had no death in him whatsoever. And so, you know, am I expecting gifts of healings to be in operation for me? Well, they could. But most likely it's going to be me receiving healing on my faith in God's word. So, in other words, here's my point. There will be some natural and supernatural that works together in my healing. Does that make sense to you? When the gifts of healings are in operation, there's nothing in the natural. In other words, the power of God shows up and you are completely and totally healed without the use of medicine or anything else. It is an absolute miraculous healing. Okay? And listen, both of them are just as spiritual. Both of them are just as godly. There's not one that's better than the other. What's the end result? To get healed. Okay? So if you're believing for healing, go to the doctor. Let God use that doctor. If you're believing for healing, take medicine. Let God use that medicine. But don't put your faith in the doctor and don't put your faith in the medicine. Just believe. And here's what I do when I'm taking medicine. You know, I'll just say, Lord, I thank you that when I take this medicine, it's going to work in conjunction with the healing power of God that is at work within my body. And really all the medicine does is ease the symptoms and make you more comfortable. I'm being very real with you, all right? You're never going to find at Spring Hill Church anybody here saying that you ought not go to the doctor and you ought not take medicine. That's dumb, okay? Take advantage of it and then believe God for your healing. And I guarantee you, if you stay in faith on the Word of God, you'll receive. But gifts of healings can kick in and can be a manifestation, and it will be a simple miracle that takes place. The purpose of the gifts of healing is to deliver the sick and to destroy the works of the devil in the human body. Okay? All right? So, here's what a statement that I made earlier. The working of miracles was more prevalent in the Old Testament than in the New Testament, and gifts of healings are more prevalent in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. Now, here's something that we'll see. Jesus operated in the gifts of healings and the working of miracles in his ministry. Okay? Now, here's why. I'm going to show you why. All right? Here's a verse that ought to help you, and I'm going to explain this to you. This is a verse talking about Jesus. For he is sent by God. He speaks God's words. For God gives him the Spirit without limit. Now, here's something you need to understand. Jesus operated in 7 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit all the time. All right? Now, the two that he didn't operate in were tongues and interpretation of tongues. We have no record in the Gospels of Jesus ever speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. We don't even have a record that Jesus in his private devotional time prayed in other tongues. What we do see, though, is tongues and interpretation and speaking in tongues came into the church age after Jesus ascended. All right? But here's the thing that you need to see. It is not going to be very likely that you by yourself are going to operate in all 9 gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because you and me, we have the Holy Spirit by measure. In other words, Jesus did not. He had the fullness of the Holy Spirit in one human being. We do not. We have the Holy Spirit as in a measure given to each of us. Now, here's why this is so important. The reason that God did it that way is so that we, when we come together, represent what Jesus did, not individually. That's why I need you. Because God will enable you to do certain things by this Holy Spirit that he won't necessarily enable me. Why? Because I have the Spirit by measure. There's a limit to the Holy Spirit in my life. There's a limit to the Holy Spirit in your life. But when we come together as the body of Christ, there is no limit. Do you see that? Because we are the representation of Jesus in the earth. Okay? So, again, this is what I said. Jesus operated in all the gifts of the Spirit without measure except for tongues and interpretation of tongues, which was reserved for the church age, which Jesus ushered in. Now, Jesus, we don't have any record in his public ministry that he ever spoke in tongues. Now, he could have in his private prayer devotion. We don't know. There is no record of it. You know, I don't know. I don't know if he didn't, how Jesus exactly communed with the Father. Okay. All I can say is this: thank God we have it now. Okay. So here we go. Let's get into this and we'll start wrapping this up. The difference between receiving healing by faith and the gifts of healings is you can receive healing for yourself. And let me add this, anytime by believing God's word for yourself and acting on it. The gifts of healings are only as the Holy Spirit wills, and you can't activate that yourself. Okay? So I don't care how much you sit at home and go, "Oh God, I just believe for the gifts of healings to be in. I just believe for Father, thank you for the gifts." That's not going to do anything. Okay? You can, however, say, "Lord, thank you that Jesus took my infirmities, he bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases, and with his stripes I am healed." You can say that as much as you want to and receive it as much as you want to, and it will work every single time. But I cannot promise you, based on the word of God, that gifts of healings and working of miracles are going to work for you every time. It's as the Holy Spirit wills. All right? Are you getting this? Okay. Am I helping you? All right. Don't want to be boring you, but I'm trying to equip you with some information so you can understand these things. Here's why. Again, because God wants to use you. God wants to use all of us in these things. But however, he cannot use you in something you're ignorant of. Okay? And again, he's not going to use you in something that you could hurt somebody with either. You know, you've heard me use the illustration, and I heard Brother Copeland give this illustration years ago. My dad bought me my first gun, I bet I was, maybe 10, 11 years old. It was a little 410 shotgun. All right? And he taught me how to use that gun and fire that gun. And, I still have that gun to this day and still, occasionally, I haven't in a while, but, we'll shoot with it. Now, why didn't he give me that gun when I was 4? I mean, same gun, same amount of power. Because I couldn't be trusted with it. Because I didn't know anything about it. And when I was 4, I would have shot holes in the side of the house. I would have busted out windows. I'd have done all kinds of crazy stuff because I didn't know what I was doing. And even, listen, he just didn't give me that gun and I just let turn me loose with it. For the longest time, I could only shoot it in his presence. And, and so what I'm telling you is the same way that God operates. He's not going to turn you loose with this kind of power until you understand some things about it. And listen, and he can trust you with it. And trust you that you're not going to, just shoot it all over the place and hurt a bunch of people and embarrass him and, all that kind of stuff. He wants to be able to trust you in these things. So you've got to understand. So let's move on. We'll cover a couple of these things, and then we'll quit. Let's talk about the utterance gifts for just a moment. The first one that we talk about is called the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. And here's the definition of it. It's a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. Now, the gift of diverse kinds of tongues is not the same as you praying in other tongues in your private devotional time. However, same utterance, same Holy Spirit, but like Paul said in Romans 12:1, it's a different operation, has a different purpose. What the diverse kinds of tongues are used for is in a public assembly, in a church setting, or where a group of people are, okay? And it is a supernatural utterance. It's where God inspires you to say something, but it is in an unknown tongue, okay? Now, diverse kinds of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned by the speaker. So let me say this to you. I know some Spanish. And if I get up here and I start speaking Spanish to you, That is not diverse kinds of tongues, because that's a language I know. I don't know a lot about it, but I know a few words, okay? That is, God is not going to use you in diverse kinds of tongues in a language that you know, is my point, all right? He's going to use you in a language that you do not know, thus making it supernatural, all right? So it's never learned by the speaker, nor understood by the speaker, nor necessarily understood by the hearer. However, now I will say this, there have been times, I haven't ever been in a service where this has happened, but I've heard testimonies of where a minister was led by the Holy Spirit to give an utterance in an unknown tongue, and there happened to be somebody in the room who was of the nationality that understood what was being said. However, the speaker did not. And it was something supernatural that happened where God spoke directly to that person. Okay? Now that can happen. All right? But most likely it does not. That's not a common occurrence. All right? So diverse kinds of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit, and language is never learned by the speaker, nor understood by the speaker, nor necessarily understood by the hearer. So that is diverse kinds of tongues. And the way it works is that, and we'll get into some of the instructions later on, but there is an unction that's given by the Holy Spirit to give an utterance in tongues forth, to give deliver it forth. And Paul instructs us that it's very careful that when that happens, that we always make sure that we interpret. Now, let me go over to this. The gift of interpretation of tongues is a supernatural revealing of that which has been said in an unknown tongue. All right, so in a public setting, it might be where somebody over here has an utterance of tongues. They give that utterance in tongues, and either it could be the person on the platform, it could be somebody else in the congregation, that God, the same way, gives them the interpretation of what was said in other tongues. Now, let me say this. It is not a translation. In other words, I've been in environments where, somebody gave an utterance of tongues, and it, you know, just forgive me for saying it this way, but it was about this long. But the interpretation came forth, and it was this long. Well, if you're doing Spanish to English or French to English or English to French, it doesn't work that way. It's equal, okay? So what you can't judge is the interpretation and go, well, that tongues wasn't that long, but the interpretation just seems to be going on and on and on. It's because it's an interpretation, not a translation. Do you understand that? Okay, so there's a difference. All right, so the gift of interpretation in tongues is a supernatural revealing of that which has been said in an unknown tongue. All right? The purpose of this gift is simply to render the gift of tongues understandable to the hearers, so that the whole congregation, as well as the one who gave the utterance in an unknown tongue, can know what is said, and for the purpose of edification. And this is why Paul instructed a great deal on this. Because what was happening in the Corinthian church is, they'd come to church, there'd be a whole bunch of what we call messages in other tongues, and nobody would ever interpret. And everybody leaves going, what was that all about? I don't know. Did you get anything out of that? No, I didn't get anything out of that. And see, that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is for the people to be edified. And so Paul said, that's why he narrowed it down, you know, where he said, let there be two or at the most three, but always be an interpretation, okay? And, as I've said before, the Holy Spirit doesn't interrupt himself. So there's always going to be an order to this. It's never going to be chaotic. And a lot of times in our modern churches, it's not encouraged. And I'm talking about, groups where you have thousands of people gathered together. It's not often encouraged simply because of the fact that there's a couple different reasons. Number one, in an environment like that, you get all kinds of people. Okay? And let me just be real plain, real blunt. You get good, hungry, normal people, and you get weirdos. And a lot of times, the weirdos want the attention. Okay? And so unfortunately, they can have a tendency to mess things up for everybody. And it's very difficult to keep order in that type of situation. And so a lot of times in larger, you know, larger environments, it's not encouraged. Okay? In an environment, and the other thing is, too, a lot of times, you know, pastors don't take the time to do what I'm doing right now and teach on it, where people can be aware of what's going on and how these things operate so that people are fully aware. So you need to understand that in the New Testament days, when Paul would write a letter to the church at Corinth, somebody would stand in front of that whole congregation and read that letter and would teach them based on what the instructions were. And we need to be taught on these things because, you know, I fully believe that God intends for it to be in operation just as much now as it was in the book of Acts. Amen? But people have to be taught, again, so that it can bless and minister and edify people. It's not about somebody who wants attention. It's not about somebody who's trying to establish themselves as spiritual. It's not about any of that type of thing. It's about people being blessed and edified, encouraged, and comforted, the Bible says, while they are in a church situation. That's what it is designed for. All right? And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen? Well, thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate you being here. We'll pick up here next week.